How many are thankful that we're not under 2 or 3 inches of snow? Somebody showed me a picture at work yesterday of a reminder of 2 years ago, I guess. I'd forgotten that it was snowing. And I'm one who's thankful I'm not pushing snow this morning. They say April showers brings May flowers. April ice, I don't know what that does. But I'm so thankful that we have sunshine. I'm thankful that we have freedoms and liberty. I'm thankful that not only in the natural, but in the spiritual, we have freedom and liberty. Amen? And this has been a rough year. Anybody concur with me on that? Been a tough, tough year. And I, for one, am tired of it. And I was thinking about it. You know, this last year, we lost my father. In fact, the last time I led worship and sang was at his funeral. I just didn't feel like it anymore. But there's actually a testimony in this, okay? So I'm not leaving you hanging there. But how many are thankful that God has not left us nor forsaken us? Thank you for those 2 or 3 amens. It's been a year of uncertainty. A year of loss, a lot of us have lost loved ones, either in the natural, they actually passed away, or we were separated from them and couldn't see them, you couldn't travel, you couldn't do anything. There's been a lot of emotional loss, emotional stress and strain. A lot of us had financial difficulties, a lot of businesses didn't make it, you know. We were isolated, a lot of us, even across town, we couldn't go see our family. I know a lot of people that have parents that were in nursing homes. They couldn't go visit them. What a terrible situation, you know. But how many know that it says in Romans that all things work together for good for those who are called according to his purpose? Somebody say all. All things, not just the fun things, but all things. And it depends what our perspective is, you know. I'm going to share some testimonies this morning of some of the things that we went through that were not fun, but in hindsight, I'm glad that God allowed us to go through them and not be stuck in them, because now we have a testimony. How many know that you cannot have a testimony without a test? You got to have a test if you're going to have a testimony. Ain't that right, Chris? He wants us to thank him in despite of what's going on around us. And as I was praying about what to preach this weekend, you know, sometimes the Lord speaks to me in the places at the oddest times, but the most time that I spend with the Lord is when I'm out in the woods cutting firewood or getting ready to log something out, and I love to mess with wood. I'm a carpenter by trade, so I like to build things, and my dad liked to build things, and my dad could take the junkiest junk and make something cool out of it. I'm not just talking about people. He would take scrap wood and build some awesome. In fact, if you're at his funeral, we had benches and birdhouses that he had made out of just stuff that a lot of people would have said, oh, just get rid of that. It's got too many knots or too many holes in it. But he would make something beautiful out of it. And that's what God does in our lives. And Hebrews 13:8 says this. He said, Jesus, say Jesus, you are the same yesterday. You're the same today, and you're going to be the same forever. Isn't that awesome? Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. So the same God that did the miracles in the Old Testament and in the New Testament is the same God that's working today in year 2021. Do you think it's any accident that you're here this morning? No. This is your ordained time this morning. You were supposed to be here, and I'm thankful that you are, because it's not fun preaching to an empty crew. We need to get back to about the Father's business and keep our hearts focused on him. In Matthew 6, it says this, that where your treasure is, there your heart is also. We have been building on fear for the last year. The media has tried to force fear down our throats. How many believe what God says? Thank you for that one amen. The word of God says this, for God has not, and Paul wrote this to Tim, he said, God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power. Amen? Say power. And a sound mind. Say, I'm smart. I've got what it takes. I've got what it takes. Power. A sound mind. Amen? God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and a sound mind. He wants us to use the gifts that he's given us, not to sit in fear, not staying behind anymore, saying, I can't do this. And the Lord began to speak to me about the word dehydration. And then he added there spiritual dehydration. We as a church body, and a lot of us as Christians, I'm not saying you, and I'm not saying this church, but some of us have been in a spiritual dehydration for months now. It's about time for us to get rehydrated again, amen? We've got to get replanted, regrouped, and rehooked up to the power source. What are the symptoms of dehydration? Well, one of the hats that I wear is I'm a nurse in the emergency room, and so I see a lot of patients that come in with dehydration. Symptoms are weakness, confusion, lethargy. They just feel sick all over. They get electrolyte imbalance, and when that happens, it can affect your heart. And so now you have cardiac symptoms, or it can cause neural symptoms where you have more confusion. You might have visual changes. You might have dizziness. You might have headaches. All these things can mimic something else. You can get muscle cramps, belly aches, nausea, all related to dehydration. So when we become spiritually dehydrated, what happens? We become weak. We get anxious. We might go into a state of depression. We have confusion. We might have poor judgment. We have moral instability and possible moral collapse. We act out inappropriate. When you get spiritually dehydrated, it can lead to isolation. How many are sick and tired of being isolated? Proverbs 18:1 says this, a man who isolates himself seeks his own desires and refuses all wise counsel. When we isolate ourselves, we cannot glean from one another. We cannot help one another. We cannot minister to one another because we've isolated ourselves, and that's not God's plan for our life. It can cause fear and doubt. We cannot doubt that God is in control. Proverbs 3 says to trust the Lord with part of your heart. Is that what it says? That's right. We got a future preacher right here. Trust the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding, but in all your ways acknowledge him and he's going to direct your path. Isn't that powerful? I remember I wrote a song that went something like that a few years back, and every time I think of that song, I think, thank you, Lord, for where you brought me from. I'm so thankful, Lord, that I didn't follow my own path. Thank you, Lord, that I didn't have to trust myself because I'd really screw up, but Lord, I can put my trust in you, and when we put our trust in you, how many know he ordains our steps, and we walk in the steps that he's ordained for us, awesome things happen. So with that said, let's talk about some things that's happened. I shared I don't know if it was last night or this morning, I shared the testimony of my dad, Mom, of when you guys were in Guyana. My mom and dad were some of the first American missionaries in the little island of Trinidad. My brother Paul happened to live there as well. And when my dad was a missionary, they'd go up in the bush and they'd do tent meetings. And because a revolution broke out, they had to leave Guyana quickly for their life. And it's a long story. It's a lot of awesome testimonies. And hopefully someday, with the help of my mom, we can write a book and some of the memoirs of the ministry that Mom and Dad had. But anyways, with that said, my dad told me, he said, I've always wondered if I ever did any good in Guyana. And about 10 years ago, my dad was in Toronto. Was it about 10 years ago, Mom, when he was up there? And he was part of a ministerial team that was doing some ministering up there. And after he got done preaching, he got a note that a certain man wanted to meet him in the lounge area. I think they were in a motel or something. So my dad said, okay, I'll meet him. And this guy came up to him. And by this time, he's an adult. He's a full-grown man. I think he's probably in his 50s or 60s at the time. And he said, Brother Tucker, he said, you don't know me. He said, but you came to my village when I was a little boy and you had a tent meeting. And he said, my dad was the witch doctor in that village and he would not allow me to come to your meetings, but I rebelled. How many kids rebel to go to church? A lot of us tried to not have to go. But he said, I rebelled, and I went and I snuck underneath the tent, and I listened to your message. And he said, after service, as you were leaving the tent meeting, he said, you laid your hand on my head, and he said, you're going to do great things for God someday. What an awesome impartation that we can do to one another when we're not isolated. Amen? And so, of course, my dad didn't really remember any of this. He said, I'm that little boy. He said, because of the revolution, we had to leave the country, and I had the opportunity to get an education in England. He got my medical degree, and now I have ministries in different countries, and I'm up here in Toronto doing a lesson and teaching. He says, I just want you to know that I've served God all my life, and he has blessed me. You see, when we think that things in our life are horrible, God still has a way of working things out. How many remember the story of Joseph? Joseph was in prison. His brother sold him into slavery. You think he didn't have a bad day? You think he didn't have a bad life? He was going through all kinds of things. And at the very end, when you see the plan of God and the hand of God in it, it says in the end of the book, it says, what you have meant for evil, God has meant for good. All things work together for good for those who love the Lord and are called according to his purpose. This has been a hard year, but how many know that there's hope? So how do we treat the symptoms of dehydration? Yeah, we start to get infused again. Amen? Man, if we're in the hospital, we'll start IVs on people. We'll give them electrolytes, things to counteract the symptoms that they're having. If you're at home, you know, we'll treat, have you drink fluids. But the main thing is you're infusing yourself again, you know? And Jesus said this to the woman at the well, the Samaritan woman. He said this. She said, do you want a drink? He said, I want a drink. She said, well, you have nothing to dip with. And he says to her, he said, ma'am, if you knew who I was, you wouldn't be asking me if I want a drink. You'd be saying, can I have a drink of what you have? Because I give the living water. And Jesus wants to infuse your life with the living water, amen, so that the Bible says that out of you will come rivers of living water. So you'll go from a dehydrated state to a state of where the presence of God is oozing out of you, pouring on to other people. Amen? The second thing, how do we get infused? Well, one thing is to come to church and we pray together. We worship together. I know myself, I don't like to read that much. And when I read, I have to read stuff 4 or 5 times. I remember when I was in college, it was really rough. And I'm thinking, I got to take notes on this. I got to test on this. I don't remember what I just read 5 minutes ago. And I had to pray. I said, Lord, you got to just help me out here. And sometimes it's the same with the Bible. You know, you think, some people say, well, I don't like to read the Bible because I don't understand what it says. You know, that's okay. Because in Hebrews 4:12, it says, the word of God is alive. It's living. It's a living thing. It's powerful. It's sharper than a two-edged sword. It'll divide the soul and the spirit and the joint and the marrow. I always tell people, if you want to know who you are and what you're made of, get into the Word of God and it'll reveal things to you about yourself. It won't just reveal bad things. No, it reveals the plan and the purpose that God has for you, even in the midst of the storm. If I asked how many people like to read, who'd raise their hand? Oh, wow, a lot of people like to read. Okay. Wow. You're not just YouTubers? How many like love stories? Oh, you like romance, do you? There's romance in here. You like romance? Ruth, Esther, kind of mushy. How many like action and adventure? Oh, yeah, guys. Ooh, ooh. Yeah. Full of action and adventure. It's got superheroes in here. Real heroes. Men of God, men of faith. Samson. You've got Gideon. Gideon was awesome. It says in the book of Judges that he thought he said, I'm the weakest of the weakest clan in my tribe. And yet God saw something powerful in him. Aren't you glad that God sees something powerful in you? You know, if you read the exploits of Gideon, a lot of cool things happen. He fought off the enemy throwing little caged lanterns down a hill. What kind of tactic is that? Well, the foolish things of man become the awesome things of God, amen? And that's how he was able to destroy the enemy. We sang a song last night that this is how I fight my battles. When I feel like I'm not surrounded, I'm surrounded by you. How many know that the presence of God will never leave you and is always surrounding you? I'm going to tell a story that some of my kids will remember that about 15 years ago, we were ministering out and headed to Montana in November. And how many know that it's always balmy in Montana in November? And we were traveling in our old 1972 MCI coach that we converted from a Greyhound bus, and that's what we were living in. And we broke down in North Dakota, which is also balmy in November. And when the bus broke down, our engine wouldn't run, and we had no heat, and it was cold. But with all that said, God sent an angel. He sent a trucker that came by, and they helped us get our vehicle going. And we had a four-hour trip to get to the church that we needed to. And it's getting late. And I called the pastor. I said, they're helping us, and I don't know when we're going to get there. He said, well, do you want to cancel your meetings? I said, no, we've traveled this far. I said, somehow we're going to get there. And by this time, it's dark out. We had a four-hour trip? Did I? Okay. We had a four-hour trip, and service is supposed to start in 2 hours. There's no way we're going to make it, but I said, we'll get there when we get there. And the trucker had given me a road map on a napkin. He wrote how to get there on a napkin. He said, you go down to this red barn, and you turn left, and you go down to where the yellow silo is, and you turn right. Then you stay on that road for I don't know how long, and I'm looking at this map on my napkin, and I'm looking outside. It's cloudy. There's no moon, and there's no stars. The road has no road signs on it, and by dumb faith, I get in my bus, and I start to drive, and my kids and my wife, they've had a rough day, so they go to the back and go to sleep, so I'm all by myself driving, and John 10:10 says that the enemy does not come except to steal, kill, and destroy. And 1 Peter says that the enemy is like a lion that wants to prowl around and try to ruin your day and see if he can't devour you. And so I'm up in the front of this bus driving, and I'm beginning to feel isolated. I'm beginning to feel like, what am I doing out here? I got my family. If this bus breaks down, there's nobody. There's not even a house light. There's nothing. In fact, this is where the state of Montana, the area where they call the state tree the telephone pole. There's not even any trees. You can't see nothing. And it's dark. And I'm all by myself because they're back sleeping. And I'm worrying. I said, what if we break down? There's nobody to help us. And then I remembered a scripture. See, this is why the Word of God is alive. It does not leave you. A scripture came to mind, and it was a scripture in Psalms where David said, all the stuff was going on with him, and he said, I did not remember until I get into the presence of God. And the Bible said he began to worship the Lord. You know, David encouraged himself in the Lord a lot because there was nobody else to do it for him. Everybody else wanted to kill him. And so he was encouraging himself in the Lord, and I thought, until I get in the presence of God. Well, I can get in the presence of God right here in this bus. And I begin to just pray. I begin to just worship the Lord. And in a little while, I remember I was just weeping. And I was in the presence of God. I mean, the Holy Spirit can hit you wherever you want to be, you know, wherever you are, if you allow him to. In any situation, my wife and I can tell you story after story after story of the hand of God sparing our life. We'll have to write a book. But anyways, I'm in the presence of God. I'm driving, and I got 4 hours to get there. And I thought, Lord, I hope I can find my way. There's no way I can, you know, I can't find my way. I can't see. I'm just driving down a road. I have no idea where I'm at. You ever had that happen where you don't know where you're at, but you're going anyways? And that's what I was doing. And in a little ways, I come to a T in the road. Less than an hour, I came to a T in the road. And it said the town that we needed to go was 5 miles. I thought, what? How many ever watched Star Trek? I know Jim's a Trekkie. God hyperported us in time. We pulled up in front of the church, and the pastor said, how did you get here? I said, this map. On this napkin. You know what? God did that. God did that. I got in the presence. I tell you what, it was an awesome experience. I mean, do you kids remember that? It's crazy. That don't happen in the 21st century. Well, depends on what year they made the show. They, you know. But I'm just so thankful that God still working today. So we got a history. How many like history? There's all kinds of history in here. Mysteries. There's whodunits in here. And I'm telling you this because God wants to once again begin to be Lord of your life. He wants you to saturate yourself with his presence and his word. And so my challenge last night and earlier this morning, I'm going to challenge you today. Maybe you say, well, I can't hardly read. I don't like it. It's just hard for me to chew on. I'm going to say chew on it anyways. The more you chew on it, the more tender it's going to get. Amen. Thank you. Yeah. And my challenge to you this morning is to just take one page, just one page, and begin to devour the Word of God one page at a time. We've been in countries where they can't get Bibles. Or if they do, they may only be one Bible for the whole congregation. I remember preaching up in the mountains in Nepal, and that whole church body only had one Bible for that whole congregation. I've heard of stories of men that's been in prison that somebody had ripped a sheet out of the Bible and used it for scraps paper or something and threw it on the floor, and they came by and picked it up, and they opened it up, and here was a page of the Bible. And they begin to read it. Who knows what they read? They might have read he got, she got, and they got. Who knows? But how many know that the Word of God is alive? And I have literally preached, and I've heard of other people preaching, that what they were saying was not what was penetrating my heart. And that's the cool thing about the Holy Spirit and the Word of God. It can bring life, even when you don't expect it. So these guys take this one sheet of paper, and they begin to read it, and they're in prison. They may, who knows what they're in there for, but they don't have much of a future where they're at. And all of a sudden, the Word of God begins to jump off that sheet of paper and then lands in their heart, changes their life. And that's what God wants to do with us. He wants us to get regrounded, rerooted. Let's put the past in the past. I was ministering to a guy yesterday. I said, you know, your past does not have to affect your future anymore. Your past does not have to affect your future. In Micah chapter 7, it says that God takes our sins and throws them into the sea of forgetfulness where they're never remembered again. Aren't you thankful that God is not keeping score for you? The only scorecard that really matters is that your name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life. And if you're not there, then you got problems. But if your name is there, you've got a plan, you've got a hope, you've got a future that will not fade away. I'm going to have the worship team come in just a few minutes, and we're going to sing a song. And in the song, it says this phrase. It says, Lord, take us back to where we started, back to our first love. How many remember what you were doing in your life before you had a confrontation with the Lord, before you had someone say, let me tell you about my Savior? I'm not talking religion. I've had people say to me, you know, yeah, what do you think about all this religion stuff? I said, I don't think much of it, actually, because religion doesn't do anything for me. But a relationship with Jesus Christ, that does everything. And if you're here this morning and you've never really surrendered your life to the Lordship of Jesus, I want to invite you that today is your day. If you don't have a plan for your future, you need to make one. You know, we're always worried about the 401k. We're always worried about our finances. But what good does it do to store up all these treasures here on earth to lose our soul? We need to make a plan for our future that's eternal. The Word of God will not, cannot return void. It will accomplish what He wants it to accomplish. And in due season, Paul said these things. He said in Galatians chapter 6, "My brothers and sisters, don't grow weary while doing good, for in due season, you will receive a reward." And I want to encourage you today, if that's you, you've been in a dehydrated state, allow the Holy Spirit this morning to reinfuse you. Get back into the Word of God. Get back to your first love. The things that are going on around us are going to be here, unfortunately. And some things might get worse. For some of us, it's going to get worse. But there's a God who's going to see us through. We can either choose to be isolated and to succumb to what's going on around us, or we can look at this as an opportunity for God to do miraculous things in our life. We can either choose to just shut down, or we can say this is an awesome time for revival. This is an awesome time for us to pull ourselves up by our bootstraps, put on the full armor of God, and say, as for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. Here am I, Lord, send me. I don't care if it's just across the street. If you're willing to go, God will use you. If God can use a guy like Peter, okay, and James and John, you know, they had a nickname. They were called the Sons of Thunder. It's kind of like a motorcycle gang, if you think about it, the name. They were called the Sons of Thunder. Why? Because they were always fighting, and they wanted to. In fact, they said, "Lord, should we just strike these people down? Should we beat them up?" And the Lord says, "No, let's minister to them." Peter had an anger problem. Peter got so mad, he cut a guy's ear off. Jesus had to say, "Peter, for crying out loud, I was going to take the day off." And he picked up his ear and put it back on. If God can use people like that, He can use you and I, amen? And Peter, he didn't wear a cape. He wasn't that kind of a superhero. But the Bible says in Acts that he had a shadow. He was so full of the Holy Spirit. When he would walk by people, that just the presence of his shadow would come by and they'd be touched and healed. The same God that worked in their lives is the same God that wants to work in your life. And if that's you this morning, you want more. Say, "I'm tired of being stagnant. I'm tired of being dehydrated. I'm tired of feeling like I'm isolated. I'm tired of feeling like I'm not going anywhere." Then today's your day. I want to invite you to come up. We're just going to come up. We got time this morning. I think the restaurants are going to stay open longer because it's Mother's Day. Let's come up. Let's just minister to one another. Let's allow the Holy Spirit to work in our lives. And if that's you, you say, "I need more of Jesus. I need more of you, Lord. I need you to reinfuse me with your presence." Lord, I pray that you just bless this congregation this morning. Special blessing on the mothers today, God. We just plead your blood over their lives. Build a hedge of protection around them, God. Let this week be a week of victory. A week of anointing. I pray, Father God, that you would set them up, Lord, for times where they really feel your presence, Lord. Set them up for encounters, God, where you can work in their lives this week. I pray. We thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. Be blessed.